Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Some passion, rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustle, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the fields like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa, Buffalo money need extra bills. Till I'm eating so much,
need
I got
extra bills. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, football fans? It is the chop up. It is Wednesday night. It is the first day of the NFL league year. The first official day of the league year. So happy New Year to everybody. I know my man Antoine is ready. I know my man Sterles is ready. And like I said, it's the new year. So happy new year to both of you. What's going on, Sterles?
Hey, man. What's up, dog? It's a good day around here. You know, got some good news. So I'm pumped about it.
We got some great news around here. But and my man, Antoine, what's going on with you, man?
It's a great time of the year. NFL's, you know, free agency. March Madness kids, I mean, getting started. I mean, so yeah, baseball coming in about spring training. So yeah, it's definitely one of the fun times of the year.
Okay, way too early predictions. Baseball, who winning it all this year?
Man,
way too early prediction.
Man, yeah, that's way, like, you have to ask me that next week, Dan. I don't know. You put me on the spot, man, but Toronto looks good. Toronto's definitely looking really good right now.
Toronto ain't going to win nothing. You better stop playing.
But who's going to win it then?
The Dodgers.
Wait, please.
The Padres are a candidate to win it.
I can't go with the Padres. I mean, they loaded up on talent. They should win it. All the talent they have.
Ain't gonna do nothing. Somebody said the Yankees.
The Yankees and Sarah said it too. Y'all already know.
Yankees ain't even the best team in that division. So
don't have me call my girl Gene in the joint. I send her a link to join.
Like,
right,
please
now,
do. Please do. They like the second best team in the division.
Come on, man. We got the MVP back. That's all that matters.
Okay. Y'all still need some pitching, though. Gerrit Cole, man. Dude is damn.
Yankees for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, come on, man. Got these Yankee people on here, man. Y'all need to stop.
But all right. Well, let's get into it. Y'all know what it is, man. It is, like I said, it's the NFL New Year. It's the first day of official business for this year 2023 of the NFL season. A lot of good stuff going on. So what we're going to do on this show, we're going to try to not focus on the Buffalo Bills. There's a lot of Buffalo Bills pods. We kind of had a special edition pod earlier when the Buffalo Bills re-signed Jordan Poyer back to a two-year deal. So we're not going to try to be redundant. We want to talk about some other things. There's a lot of stuff happening around the NFL. I kind of want to start off with a player that a lot of Bills fans wanted. I personally didn't want him, but Jamal Williams, running back from the Detroit Lions, he just got scooped up. Twan, why don't you talk about it a little bit?
Well, why didn't you want him?
Personally?
Yeah.
I just felt like he was going to be too expensive. And
that wasn't expensive at all, though. Like that was like a very cheap deal.
I actually didn't see, if I'm being honest, I didn't see what the terms were. I saw that it was 3 years, but I didn't see what
like
the terms
$10 million.
Were.
Like, yeah. $10 million, yeah.
$8 million guaranteed.
Yes.
Oh, that's super cheap. No, that's super
That's what
cheap.
I'm saying. Like, yeah, I don't know why he went to the same, like, unless the offers just wasn't there. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, I know it's a, you know, pending situation with Alvin Kamara, you know, that it may not involve him being suspended, but I think that's a great deal for the Saints. I mean, to get a, you know, heavy hitter running back like that, and even when Kamara does come back, you get a good tag team tandem that can take some pressure off of Derek Carr and the rest of that offense. You got Chris Olave. I love their offensive line. And then the defense is really good, too. The Saints Saints gonna be. I'm not saying they're gonna win the Super Bowl or anything in the NFC, but you know they definitely could make some noise. And I definitely think having a guy that can find the end zone the way Jamal Williams did last year, led the league in rushing touchdowns. I definitely think that's a big addition for them.
They definitely not winning the Super Bowl.
But I mean, the NFC is wide open. I mean, you got the Eagles, and you mean who else? You pick San Francisco.
It's so like wide open. The Eagles lost a lot of people, man.
Exactly.
Eagles lost. You know, like I know, like they just made the Super Bowl, so it's like okay, the Eagles is already. But when you take a step back and you look at all the moves that's going on and the people that they lost, it's like wait a minute, they not the same Eagles already. So I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. NFC is wide open. Like, NFC, I think, is wide open. San Francisco, maybe, but even they have questions.
Let me ask you a little bit about another NFC team. They just let go of Zeke. The Dallas Cowboys let go of Ezekiel Elliott today. How do you – Sterling, let's start with you on this one. I feel like everybody knows that it's Tony Pollard's team, you know, as far as the running back position is concerned. But just what was your reaction to the news that they were going to release him? And then – and also, there's a correction in the comments. They said it was three years for $12 million for Jamal Williams, which is still that's still cheap. If I would have known that for the Buffalo Bills, I would have taken a Jamal Williams to pair with James Cook. Like that, I think that's a good when you're talking about a tandem. That's a good tandem. But Ezekiel Elliott, man, what are your thoughts on them letting him go, and where do you think he ends up?
Well, Tony Pollard completely outplayed him. You know, I think Zeke he's washed in terms of what he once was. Like, he doesn't have the explosiveness that he once had. However, if you can get him on a minimum deal, or I would even, you know, on a deal just like, you know, Jamal Williams, maybe not as much guaranteed money, I wouldn't mind seeing him with the Bills. I mean, you don't need him to be the bell cow, but what Zeke does do well, his pass protection is really good. And I think that the Bills could use someone like him in the backfield. So, you know, that'd be a perfect place for a one-year deal to rehab his career and kind of see what's up. But I think that it's time for Zeke to go to a different organization. And this is what happens when you pay running backs all that money. And for him, he's only a seven-year pro. You know, it's not looking good for old Zeke.
You saying only though, but I mean, he has dope numbers.
That's a like, lot in is, running year. Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's a third leading rusher for the Cowboys all time
in history, and that's behind right. That's behind like the leading rusher of all time. So I mean, like,
and Tony Dorsett, two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I feel like his career is very. He has a very good career, and I mean, now sure. A team picks him up as a short yardage situation back or a goal line back. I think he could absolutely fill that role in. But I got a question for Antoine here. My man Jason Stroud in the comments wants to know, he has a question about the contract restructures. Is there a certain timeline that they had to be done? Because it feels like he's talking about Buffalo, I'm assuming here, but it feels like we got ours done so late that maybe we missed out on some guys we could have went after.
No, I mean, but normally the contract restructures are done before the league year starts. That way you have extra money to spend. Like, you can do it after the league year starts. But again, once you do it at that point, then all the action has already happened at that point where the action started Monday, actually. So, like, you're already behind the eight ball. It's kind of what he alluded to. If you're the Bills, then, you know, all these deals are already kind of happening and agreed upon. So you're doing it on a Wednesday. It's kind of like, you know, we could have got X, Y, Z guy, you know, instead of if we had done this on Sunday as opposed to, you know, wait till Tuesday and Wednesday. So, yeah, I mean, there's no timeline on it, but you definitely want it done sooner rather than later.
Let me ask you this, because I felt like this morning when I woke up, I wanted to I'm just joking when I say this, but I felt like I wanted to text Tremaine Edmonds and be like, dog, just rethink this. Can you like so because these are agreed upon terms? No, I said I'm joking when I say that, but hear what I'm saying. They're agreed upon terms during this legal tampering phase. Can a player, like, say, okay, so I agree to something Monday as a player, and then Wednesday comes, and I'm like, you know what? I want to go back home. Is that something that can happen? I feel like I haven't seen that yet in the NFL. I've seen it in the NBA.
I've seen it. Well, yeah, I'm trying to remember if it happens in that. I've seen it in certain sports. But, yeah, I mean, it could happen. I mean, but it's just kind of like, you know, people go off based off of their word all the time. I mean, hell, we saw it with coaching Josh McDaniels with, you know, the Colts, and then he went back on his word and ended up going back to New England. So, I mean, this happened before in certain instances. It's just, you know, it's kind of frowned upon, and ethically it's not right. But, yeah, you know, could it happen? Yeah, absolutely. No, I thought it might have happened in the NFL.
Yeah, And Sarah made a good point. It happened to the Buffalo Bills, and I'm sitting here and I don't remember it. Last season when McKissick signed to the Buffalo Bills from Washington Commanders and then decided to renege on that agreement and go back to Washington, and now he's cut. Yeah. So, I just wish I wish Tremaine would have done it, man. Like, I'm just saying, like, forget Chicago. You shaking your head, you could do that all you want to.
Look how much money you paid him that money.
It ain't about the money for me.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah, it's about the heart. Money.
No, man. He can make the bag.
Because you ain't making the money. It ain't your money. That's why it ain't about the money.
I'm not making. I wish I was making $72 million.
Exactly that. I can get you to be a Bears fan for $72 million right now.
No, I'm a Bears fan now because Tremaine's there. It is what it is. Like, that's my guy, and I'm going to ride with him. But it hurts. It hurts. But anyway, let's finish talking
about it. He said, I'll be a Bears fan for $15.
Let's talk a little bit about wage out there.
For a cheeseburger.
So today was the first day officially that teams were able to speak with Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything. I've been sending some text messages around to people that I know that I feel like would be in the know. I'm getting crickets. Have you heard about any teams reaching out to Lamar Jackson? And I already know we had the list of teams saying that they were not interested and they're okay. But I feel like there's a couple teams that you would think would have reached out. Have you heard anything personally?
I have not. I did see a tweet saying that the Colts might be interested, simply because they're not necessarily sold on this quarterback class. And obviously, they need a quarterback. They end up letting go of Matt Ryan today. So, obviously, he wasn't coming back anyway. But, you know, yeah, I mean, and the Colts have the number 4 pick in the draft. You know, if they're sold on Lamar Jackson, then, you know, that might be an option. But I don't know what other options are going to be out there for him. I mean, just things are kind of drying up. Washington, you know, they signed Jacoby Brissett, and they got Sam Howell there, who's going to be their starter. Carolina's going to draft the quarterback. The Raiders signed Jimmy Garoppolo. I still expect them possibly to draft the quarterback. You know, where's the opportunities there other than the Colts? Maybe. Like, I don't know. I don't really see a whole lot of chances for him other than maybe he might have to just return to Baltimore for a year and play on a franchise tag. I know that's not what he wants to do, but, you know, that might be his only option, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he's starting to run out of options.
I just think the Colts aren't – I don't know. I don't see it being a really – like, it's a move for money, obviously. But I'm saying, like, if you're trying to win, man, I just don't see that team as set up to win the same way other teams are. Like, I would rather just go back to Baltimore.
Well, I mean, yeah, but if they offer – well, it's about them offering the money. That's what it's about now. Now it's kind of in their hands. If the Colts offer them, you know – $250 million guaranteed, and the Ravens refuse to match, then he's going to Indianapolis, because, you know, I'm sure Baltimore would probably just rather have the picks in that case, because they're not going to match that. And that's kind of out of his hands, although he could say, well, I don't want to necessarily play for the Colts and then try to work it that way. But I don't know what situation is going to be great for him. Like, what? I mean, look around the league. I mean, there's not a lot of great situations that's out there for him that's going to be, you know, ideal for him to go out there and win.
I would say, to me, the best possible scenario now, based on what I'm looking at that's happening around the league with free agency, if he could talk to whoever and have them figure out, like, what they got to do out in San Francisco to make that happen.
What if not happening either? Because
they're not set.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they went up and traded for Trey Lance years ago.
Trey Lance.
Yeah,
I would trade him to the Baltimore Ravens. So you got a young guy that you're. I'm not the only one saying this. Like, you looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not the only one saying this. If I was San Francisco 49ers, I would do my damnedest to try to get Lamar Jackson, get rid of Trey Lance, send him out there to Baltimore with another first round pick or something like that.
And they also don't have a first round pick either. So they also.
I'm saying for next year or something like that, because you can. Like, Trey Lance is your first round pick that you can give him for this year. And then, you know what I mean? Like, figure something out. I'm sure there's something that could be figured out. If I was them, that's what I would try to do. Like, honest to God.
But I think they're set too. I think they're fine with, you know, just contenting their situation as well. But yeah, that would be ideal. That'd be the most ideal spot for him. That might be the only ideal spot for him, to be quite honest with you at the moment.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So, Sterles, I was also looking. So, Jacoby Brissett signed with the Washington Commanders. And that one kind of gets me because I feel like they were set up to look for somebody in the draft, obviously. Brissett, I feel like, in a way, he played well enough to earn a starting role, but you know he's not a franchise guy. Right. You get what I mean? But so how do you think this plays out for Washington? Do you think that they still look to try to draft a quarterback this year? Do you think that they're like, okay, we can spend some time with Brissett while we figure out if a guy, you know, or what do you think is going to happen when it comes to that?
I think they're going to roll with what they got this year. I think they're in a perfect position in terms of, you know, you got a new offensive coordinator, right, coming over from Eric Bieniemy. So I think, you know, to be honest, like Washington's one of those scorned franchises where, you know, I think he'll have a lot of time to figure things out. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a good move for them to bring in a guy like Jacoby Brissett, a veteran who can play in a pinch, like and be successful. I mean, he's not a franchise guy by any means, but he's a really good backup quarterback. So see what you got in the young guy, Sam Howell, let those two battle out. And then, you know, if the season goes to hell, you know, you can go draft a quarterback early next year.
The only problem with that, I got two things I want to say. The only problem with that is, you know, potential change in ownership. So if they do get a new owner they don't make the playoffs, then yeah, they might be a little bit on the hot seat then because that's not their guy. So that does kind of complicate things too. And then another thing too, I mean, you talked about Brissett. I mean, he probably could be a starter, but again, we're starting to run out of opportunities. Where would he start at? Like realistically, we either got teams that are trying to draft a quarterback, teams that have a quarterback, or teams that believe they do have a quarterback. And I don't know what situation he could go in and, you know, legitimately start at the moment.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. But I don't know what the hell Atlanta's doing actually. But yeah, that might be one of the very few situations.
The Colts. You can go back to the Colts.
Well, the Colts could draft the core.
Right.
I don't think Atlanta knows what Atlanta's doing.
The Colts could draft the guy, so yeah. But yeah, I don't know what the Falcons are doing.
I think he's better than Baker Mayfield. I mean, why didn't Tampa take a shot at
they're in cap hell. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't think Baker Mayfield is making a lot of money. And also they got Kyle Trask. They got Kyle Trask there, so they want to, you know, possibly see. So I think they're content. I think they're content with if these guys are not it, we could draft, you know, Caleb Williams possibly next year.
But see, this is what it's come to. I'm old enough to remember in the playoffs or heading into the playoffs when Twan was telling me how good Baker Mayfield still is, and now he's in a competition. He's in competition.
Oh no, I hate when people put words in my mouth. No, that's not what I said. No, that's not what I said. You said no. Like, to be honest with you, you said I said he was better than Cam Newton. You said he was not. That's what I say. Okay, watch Cam Newton ain't on the roster, man. Like, just let it go.
He don't want to at this point.
That's BS. That's BS. I'm not the only one that feels that way. Apparently, the NFL feels that way too. Like Cam Newton is done, man. Like he's done. I didn't say Baker Mayfield was good.
No, he's not. Baker is absolute cheeks.
Not right now. Did you see Cam Newton the last time he played?
I did.
And what do you think about his play?
I mean, he was bad. His shoulder is shot.
Exactly.
His shoulder is gone.
My point is, Baker's cheeks.
But my point is, Baker, he's cheeks, period. It didn't matter. Like, he's just.
It does matter, though. Yeah. So he can at least be a backup quarterback. Baker Mayfield at least be in the league for 10 years as a backup. Cam Newton, like he's done. Like he's done, man. Like he just let it go.
He should back up. No, he can't. Down there. You know, he's going. No, I'm saying Baker's going to back up The guy down there, and that's he dude, might. That is so hilarious to me. That is so hilarious to me.
He might, man. I mean, yes,
I mean, they're both trash right now. they both buns. Yeah, hey, what you say? Cam is would you call him Spence?
The pot is called the kettle black. That's basically what it is. Like,
no,
that's what it is at this point.
Yeah, listen, I just yeah, I know.
You just
I
don't want to say it. You just don't want to say it.
I said he was bad. I did.
No, you said, well, it's the same thing. Both of the guys are not very good.
But no, I said he was trash the last time he played. I'm exactly. saying it again. He was trash exactly. the last time he played. But who's less trash? What's the lesser of two evils? I'm taking Cam.
No, not right now. You're not.
Baker
not
can't right even now. Run for a first down. Cam can at least give you 4 yards on his
scramble. Baker can move. Like, he can't move like Cam Newton, but he can move.
He can move down to Tampa Bay. Like, that's all he's doing. That dude is buns, man.
And guess what? He's got a job, though. He got a job.
He do.
The number one overall pick got a job backing up the backup down there in Tampa Bay.
To the backup.
I love it. But whatever, let's move forward because I don't want to keep going on Baker. Baker, he's really not that bad. I guess I've had a thing about Baker since he was drafted. The way he came into the league with his attitude, as if he won multiple championships before he was ever drafted. I just didn't like his attitude.
Okay, then you could say that, then. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that. I'm admitting to it. Like, I just don't. I wasn't a fan of his, so I just always celebrated at the moments that, you know, it was just. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about
hold on. So my boy, if y'all would have saw Spence lately, yesterday, my boy needed a hug. Now Stella got his groove back today, boy. He's back.
Listen.
Toy, you should have seen it, bro. You should have seen him, dog.
Oh, he was crying. he was crying.
I wasn't crying, but I did the code of conduct. You know, every Tuesday I do the code of conduct. I was just going off about the Buffalo Bills because I felt like the holes that we're going into the season with, we didn't have to. And the fact that, like, I feel like, and I still have the graphics up in here because we did it in the chop up. So I talked about these draft classes. You know, you go back to this draft class and okay, so in this class, who would you say we hit on? Tyler Bass, Gabriel Davis, and Dane Jackson, right? Maybe AJ Epenesa, if you want to say that. So four in that class, right?
I wouldn't even give it that.
You go to this class.
That's what I was gonna say, but okay.
Okay. So we won't give it that. I don't like AJ Epenesa. So let's say three in that class.
Exactly.
Right. Then you go to this class, Kyir Elam, who they barely played. So really, I can't say we hit, but I like him. So let's say
incomplete. Like, you get him incomplete right now. Okay,
James Cook. He ended up coming on towards the end of the year. I think we can say that he's a part of the future here. Same thing, Khalil Shakir, incomplete in a way. I like him. Terrell Bernard looks like he might end up being the starter now, but who knows? Because he didn't see the field as a starter. Then we go here, Greg Rousseau. We can say is a hit. Boogie Basham. Marquez Stevenson, no. Damar Hamlin, I know he got injured. I know everything that happened, but let's be honest. Before the injury, Hamlin wasn't the guy that we were saying, oh, yeah, if Micah Hyde never comes back, we're set with Damar Hamlin. We weren't saying that. So, again, what do we hit in this class?
One. One pick.
So again, out of all of those classes, we hit 4-5 players with a couple incompletes, and now you expect me to believe that going into this draft that Brandon Bean is just going to hit. If we would have lost Jordan Poyer, we did lose Tremaine Edmonds. You know what I mean? Like, so instead of it just going into it like, okay, we need a wide receiver, maybe a running back and some offensive lineman, now you got to draft a starter. And say, now, Jordan Poyer's back, so I'm a little bit in a better mood. But you got to draft a starting linebacker because we're not going to sign somebody that's going to give you that production. Guys are already signed. Levante Dave, the one we wanted, went back to Tampa Bay. There's some other possibles, but it's looking real bleak in that situation as far as linebackers. Jordan Poyer's back. Cool. But you got to fill in these holes now. And you expect me to believe that we're going to hit on 7 rounds of draft picks when these are the drafts that we just had? That's what you want me to believe?
See, this is why, like, I wish you were going, like, to the owners' meetings. You know, I know you're going on vacation, but these are the questions that need to be asked. Like, these are the questions, like I said, I'm not on the Bills beat, so I can't necessarily ask the question. But, yeah, those are fair questions to ask. Like, I mean, you know, why do you feel like, you know, they would have confidence in Brandon Bean, considering the drafts that he have? I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if somebody has asked that, maybe, but That's ain't a good nobody,
ain't nobody
class.
Ain't nobody got
why,
class.
Why couldn't they? Why couldn't they?
They should. They should.
Why couldn't they? Why couldn't
I
they?
I feel like on the beat that we have, I feel like I don't think anybody, Jerry, before he got fired for being a male chauvinist, before he got fired, he was the only one that would have had the fortitude to ask that question. He's the only one. Nobody, and I'm not saying that like the guys on the beat are punks, but I just think that they have a certain respect and relationship with the team where they're not going to do that. They don't want to risk their relationship with the team.
Well, I it's love not, the team, it's, but I would it's ask. The way, it's the way you say it. It ain't like how you, if I mean, you ask the question like, okay, you know, what gives you the confidence you can find starters in this draft, considering your previous drafts? And then if he's like, oh, okay, you know, what do you mean? Then you could just go down the list of like guys that, you know, hadn't worked out. Not necessarily, you know, picking on anybody, but I mean, it's a fair question to ask. Yeah. Again, it's not like you're being malicious. You're not taking shots at anybody, but you're just saying what gives you that confidence you can find somebody to replace Tremaine Edmonds in the draft.
You ask him that, he gonna turn red. And
No. I mean, they can give you a BS answer. Like they don't have to give you an honest answer. Like we ask Robert Sala, you know, tough questions all the time. He gives us BS answers, but at least we ask the question.
Well, the New York media is a little different than any other media in the country.
But I heard Buffalo is the only team in New York, so. That's like, true. I thought y'all should take.
New York media. I'm saying New York media. Y'all still when the New York paper comes out in New York City, right? I said the media. I ain't talking about the team. Them boys is New Jersey.
Well, It comes out of Jersey too. But yes, I know what you mean.
Okay. See, Twan trying to be funny.
But the point is, like, yeah, I still think you have to ask tough questions at times. Otherwise, you're not really doing your job.
Well, I just feel like to me that's the question heading into the draft, because like I said, I get it. We hit on Josh Allen, so when you find your quarterback, there's a lot of things that are masked and a lot of things that you just accept from the team situation because your quarterback can win a game for you that you probably wouldn't have won. You know what I mean? So I get that, but anyway, just so moving on. Let's talk a little bit about we started off kind of talking about how now you're. The team that you cover is going to have a new quarterback, potentially, maybe. I feel like it's going that
point.
Way. But,
at some yeah, point, at some yeah. point.
but how do you feel about the way all of this is kind of unfolding right now with the saga? I call it Brett Favre 2.0.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you feel about the way it's going?
I mean, it's a bit of a – I mean, you would have liked it to be worked out. I mean, I get it. Well, you know, obviously Rodgers was on Pat McAfee today and was talking about how – you know, they were saying to him, like, they wanted him to return to Green Bay and, you know, this, that, and kind of gassing him up. And he said after he came back from the retreat, things were a little bit different. How, you know, it seems like they wanted to move on to Jordan Love. But, I mean, fair enough. I mean, I think, you know, some missteps for a lot of different people. The Packers could have been completely honest. It's been like, you know, hey, you know, we got Jordan Love. You know, he's been sitting for 3 years. It's kind of like what you did behind Brett for 3 years. You know, we kind of want to move on. We drafted him. We need to find out about him because we need to pick up his fifth-year option in May or so. So we have 2 years to kind of figure out about him. And I think Aaron would have probably been accepted. I mean, he was pissed off when they drafted him. But, you know, at a certain point, you just come to the realization that it's going to happen. So, and I think he's kind of, you know, in that place now. And, you know, I feel like it's something that now the Jets and the Packers just have to work out compensation. And it seems like the Packers are like, you know, the Jets are kind of backed in this corner now where Aaron Rodgers has pretty much said, I want to play with the Jets. And the Packers are like, well, they may not have to give up a, you know, a whole lot of first round picks. Yeah, I agree. He's a diva too. So yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he's a lot of different things, but you know, the Jets, they feel the pressure. Like they know they have to win this year. So and you got Nathaniel Hackett, you got him over, you know, he coming over from being fired from Denver. They understand that if they don't make the playoffs, a lot of people are going to lose their job. So the worst way to kind of negate that is to go out and get a veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. It may be a Band-Aid for a year, but maybe we can postpone or hold off our potential firing by getting a, you know, veteran quarterback for a year that could possibly get us, you know, win a playoff game or two for us, maybe.
Sterling, do you see three teams coming out to AFC? Yeah. The AFC East, I should
say. AFC East, you mean.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I think if they get Aaron Rodgers, the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins are practically locks to go to the playoffs, man. You know, and honestly, if Aaron Rodgers is a Jet, I'm a little worried about that just because that defense alone is scary. And then you add somebody who can actually make a play or two when it counts. That's going to prove big.
Well, so my question to you, to both of you, because, you know, is this going to be the Aaron Rodgers that we've seen throughout his career, or is this going to be the one we saw last year? Because if it's Aaron Rodgers from last year, and I get it, some people are saying, oh, he had a thumb injury, and others are talking about, you know. Yeah, so, I mean, I get that he had a rough year physically. But, I mean, also when he healed up, you know, even at the end of the year, the Detroit Lions, they sent them boys home. And, you know, it wasn't the Aaron Rodgers we're used to seeing, and he was healthy for that game.
Well, I guess we'll go find out. I mean, you know, the Packers didn't have a great offensive line. The Jets still have some questions there to address there as well. So, I mean, they're trying to put a good team around them. I mean, obviously getting Alan Lazard there, they pair up with Garrett Wilson. I think that's a big move there. You know, they have, you know, solid tight ends and Tyler Coughlin and also C.J. Uzomah. I think those guys are really key, solid there. Breece Hall, I would like to see them graft another running back simply because you got a guy that's coming off an ACL injury. You have no idea how long it's going to take for him to come back. But, you know, I think they're in a good place. I mean, their team, why can't they be one of those mediocre teams that sneak into the playoffs at number 7 or 6 and just get in? I think the AFC East is going to be a gauntlet. And then, again, we hadn't even talked about the Patriots, even though I know they're mediocre, and I know a lot of people want to forget about them, but they did get Juju. And also, Bill O'Brien, I think, is going to improve their offense a lot. Compared to what happened last year. And their defense is always good. You can say whatever you want to about the Patriots, but, you know, they're well coached and they're going to have a solid defense. So that AFC East is going to be murderous row, no matter who you're playing from week to week.
I agree with you. My only real concern, so if I'm a Jets fan, my only real concern about it is going into this year, after watching the team last year, I really feel like weapons and defense, all we needed was a solid quarterback. So now what my concern is, Aaron Rodgers is bringing guys who were kind of subpar. He, you know, and not all
Lazard
of them are
solid.
Subpar. I think he's solid, but then you're talking about bringing really Cobb. Cobb was good. I'm not saying that this is not a shot. I think he's a very good player for a long time.
He's aged.
But he's on the wrong year. He's on the wrong side of his career at this point. So I just don't think I think that the team, the way the Jets are constructed, if you add Aaron Rodgers to last year's team, I think that team by far outperforms what they did.
Like, well, hell, you could have put Matt Jones on the Jets. I think they would have gotten in the playoffs over the Dolphins.
Well, but now I feel like some of those players on offense are going to be on a short. They're going to be on their way out if you're prioritizing the guys that Rodgers wants to play with.
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid situation. They are trying to win in the short term. Yeah. Like, again, these guys are trying to save their job. Like, they understand the situation. If they do not, they lost 6 straight to end the year. The owner was not happy whatsoever. If they don't make the playoffs this year, a lot of people are going to be gone. Period. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you started out the year 7-4 in December, looking good. Like, all you have to do is probably win 2 games and get to the playoffs. And then they couldn't even do that. They end up losing 6 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I think I agree with both of you. I think the AFC East is going to be, at least expectation-wise, is going to be the fun division. But I'm cautious to say that because last year we thought the AFC West was going to be that way. You get what I mean?
Correct, yes. And it was not. Well, you still had 2 playoff teams coming out of there, so to be fair. But yeah, it wasn't the gauntlet that I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, yeah. So who was I gonna, because now that just threw me. I was gonna ask her. Oh, Miles Sanders signed. So more running backs coming off the board, and the contracts aren't looking like what I think a lot of people assumed. Like, everybody was thinking, like, yo, a lot of these dudes are gonna get bread. How are you feeling about you know what? Even before we get there, there's a lot of guys that are being cut that I wouldn't have expected to be cut. Darius Slay did not come to terms with the Philadelphia Eagles on a restructured contract, and they let him go. Sterling, I'll start with you and then ask Twan about this. How do you guys feel about Darius Slay? Again, I said the Eagles don't have the same squad. If you look at them a week ago, they don't look like the same squad already. How do you feel about prior to the draft? How do you feel about the Eagles?
Man, it sucks because, you know, they went on that that Super Bowl run, and it's like their whole team's going to be different next year. I mean, they, Miles Sanders just signed with the Panthers. They released Darius Slay. Bradbury's gone. I think they got their defense tackle Fletcher Cox back today.
Hargrove is gone, though.
Hargrove is the main cog, mm-hmm. and he's gone. Mm-hmm. So that team that played so well, even in the Super Bowl, they played a really good game. Now they're going to be looking at, you know, holes to fill. And I think it's because they're gearing up to pay Jalen Hurts. They know that they're going to have to pay him. So the roster's going to have to change. The cool thing about, you know, what the Eagles got going on is they draft well. So, like, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm okay with them making those moves. Like, Darius, it's not like you groomed Darius Slay from when he was a rookie. You got him in an acquisition. So, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm cool with it because I would have faith in my GM, you know, Howie Roseman, to make really good draft picks, and that's what he does.
They do have two first-round picks, so that definitely helps a lot in that case too. But, yeah, I think you hit on it. Like, they don't have a fifth-year option they can rely on with Jalen Hurts where they could, you know, tag him with that. He was a second-round pick, so they have to end up paying him now or, you know, he's kind of on the lame duck deal for a year. You don't necessarily want to go into next year with – kind of what happened with Lamar Jackson and anything like that. You want to make sure you get it paid now because it's only going to go up from here. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, getting him signed is definitely their main focus. But, yeah, I definitely think, you know, having the amount of picks that they do, I mean, I think they'll be fine. I still think, you know, they may be the best team in the East. Although, you know, I like what the Cowboys have done getting Stephon Gilmore too. Like, I think that's going to be a big move for them. So, yeah, the Cowboys are definitely going to be right there as well. If they could somehow add another receiver, Dallas, then I definitely think they could possibly overtake the Eagles in that division.
Yep. It's funny how people are talking about Stephon Gilmore, like because he was traded, and, you know, a couple times now that people are looking at
good.
It as if he's a good cornerback, man. And he's not, I mean, he might teams. Not be. And that's what I kind of want to talk about. Like, would I have taken him back in Buffalo? Yeah, last year we signed a couple guys that, you know what I mean? Like, in the offseason, we signed some guys that didn't pan out through halfway through the season. You know, we've signed guys in Buffalo that freaking retired at halftime. So, yeah, of course I would take back Stephon Gilmore at this point. Like, but, I mean, not again, I'm not necessarily wanting to talk about Buffalo, but what I'm saying is, like, when you look at a guy like that, the narrative changes so quickly just because some people like to get it out there that way. Stephon Gilmore is a good cornerback, dude. And going down there now and you match him up with Diggs, Diggs will give up the big play because he takes a chance. But the thing is, he's a very good cornerback. Yes. Like, if he chose not to take those chances and just really and play that game and stop guys from doing it, you know what I mean? Like, he's a very good cornerback. That defense can rush the quarterback. That defense can stop the run. Now it's going to be tough to throw it on the edge. Like, it's just going to be tough to throw it on the boundary. I'm telling you, the Cowboys, if that can control his turnovers, if he can do what he does there, I just – every year I feel like we say Dallas is going to be good. But I just feel like defensively now, if you keeping teams from scoring more than 14, 17 points every week, and that offense, they score.
Yeah,
every year they score. I just think it's going to be tough to beat Dallas, man.
They need a weapon, though, offensively. And then you're probably going to lose Dalton Schultz, too. So that's definitely going to hurt a little bit as well. But, yeah, I definitely think if they could add another weapon alongside CeeDee Lamb, you talked about Tony Pollard. I think he's been the better running back for Dallas, like, the last 2 years, really. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can – they're key. Like, they definitely could end up winning that division. I think that's going to be a tough division, too. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, murderer's row or anything, but – you got the Giants who made the playoffs last year. Obviously, the Cowboys and the Eagles did too. And then Washington, I definitely think, may be improved too as well. So, yeah, that's going to be a difficult division.
I think the Giants made a mistake, though. I get that Daniel Jones had a successful career compared to what he had. I think they made a mistake really committing to him for the foreseeable future right now. I don't think that he's a franchise guy. I don't think he's a guy that can really lead you. And in that division, again, the Cowboys can score. I know Daboll is an offensive genius. We love him in Buffalo, and he's this and he's that. They do not have what – they need receivers, you know, and unless the draft is really good to them, they're not going to be able to keep up with the Cowboys offensively. The Eagles are not getting worse offensively. You know what I mean? It's just – I don't know. I feel like they made a mistake.
Yeah, I think you could say that too. But you know, they're counting on Daniel Jones to be better in his second year under Daboll too. And you know, I'm not saying if Darren Waller can stay healthy, that's the main thing. Like if he can stay healthy, that'll be a big condition for him. I mean, health has been obviously a concern with him, but when he's on the field, I mean, he's a solid pass catcher for him. Somebody that can get you probably like 60 receptions. Hell, that would have been great for them last year to consider the people that they lined up out there, the receiver and tight end position. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, in the draft, like they could add another receiver too. I mean, there's some options out there. It isn't the greatest wide receiver draft, but it is some players that I think could help them next year too.
I'm trying my hardest. Again, it always ends up coming back to the Bills for me. You're talking about the wide receiver draft, and it's not the greatest. I'm trying my hardest not to, in my mind and in my heart, want Zay Flowers, because I feel like I'm going to want him to be in Buffalo, and we're not going to get him, and I'm going to be disappointed. He's like really that the only guy that I feel can be available around that 20 to 20, you know, like that where we're going to draft. And I just feel like we're not going to get him, man. And we really need a receiver. And I don't think the Bills is going. Now, I hope Brandon Bean proves me wrong. He always does stuff at night. So being after dark.
Trade up a little bit to go get him. Jump in front of the Giants. You might have to jump in front of the Giants to do it, though.
I would do it if it was me. Like, but I mean, Brandon Bean is not me. Obviously, I'm a podcaster. That's why I'm a podcaster, not a GM. But man, I would trade up ASAP to get that dude. Like, we need help after Stephon Diggs, man.
I've seen him since he's playing in high school down in Florida, so I know how good he. I'm surprised he went up to BC. That was my big question. I was like, why is this guy not playing in Miami? Like, seriously, like, I mean, he was that good at high school, and you know, he showed that in Boston College, even as a freshman. Like, he was like just burning, you know, juniors and seniors as far as quarterbacks. I mean, he is legit. I know a lot of people have questions about the size, but I mean, he is a great route runner. I mean, if you can't catch him and his route running is like superb, then I really don't care about size. I mean, I saw Steve Smith, like, not that I'm comparing Zay Flowers to Steve Smith, but you know, I saw Steve Smith just, you know, go gangbusters on people for years. And like, that man, he's listed at 5'9", but he's really like 5'7". And like, I don't care about the size. As long as you can get away from people and your Chris route runner like plays Flowers, then that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. I feel like a guy like Jordan Addison, I think his stock is going to fall. I think Zay Flowers will be gone before the Bills pick. And I think Jordan Addison will be on the board when the Bills pick.
I just hope so. And not just that he's on the board. Like, I hope he's on the board and Brandon Bean has the fortitude to take him there. Like, take a wide receiver in round one. Do it, Brandon. Talk him into it, Sean. Do it.
You know what I feel like is going to happen? We're going to be there. When he walks that damn pickup to the podium, it's going to say linebacker. That's what it's going to say. It's going to say linebacker. Watch.
And you know what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to lose my entire mind.
Depends on the linebacker. Mm-mm. Like, nobody cares, like, very few people care who you, even if you're upset draft night. But if that player you draft ends up being really good, then nobody's going to remember that anyway. So just kind of keep that in mind.
That's true. It's a big if.
Exactly.
It's a big if.
I don't want a linebacker in round one. I don't want a linebacker in round one.
Both Zay Flowers and Addison off the board then? You still go just reach to take a wide receiver?
I don't want to reach, but I will lose my mind if we take a linebacker in round one. Draft an offensive lineman. Oh, man. I know Bills fans are tired of defensive linemen. Take a defensive. We still got to get to the – and I know, like, the report out there, because he said it, Von Miller should be ready by the start of the season because he thinks it's only going to take till training camp. He's going to be out, okay? He's not going to be healthy for the start of the season.
Even if he is, like, he's not going to be 100%. So you got to, like, bring him along very slowly, especially considering his age.
Yeah. He ain't no Adrian Peterson.
I will lose my mind, bro. I'm telling you, I will lose my mind. Anyway, let's move on because I will lose my mind, man. Matter of fact, when you're at the ownership meetings, please, can I just give you a list of, like, three questions that you get out there for me? Because I was supposed to go, but then, like I said, you mentioned my vacation was around that time. I just can't be there. But man,
yeah, I'm gonna try to get to like all the AFC East coaches, but we'll see how that goes. Like, I may have to do some maneuvering while I leave my recorder and on the Jets table while I just go ask some questions. So if I do that, then I may be able to ask some questions for you.
Let's talk about another big move that was made in the AFC East that I think at this point, because it's the week that it is, it kind of, you know, at this point now is old news, but really it's a big deal. The Miami Dolphins traded with the LA Rams and they got your guy, you know, I think EJ, he loves him, Jalen Ramsey. I think it's a good move for them. I think their defense is going to be really – they had a solid defense anyway. It wasn't the worst by any means that we've seen from – no, why are you making that face? When I say solid –
their defense was not good last year, man. Their defense took a step back. They took a step back under – like, Brian Flores had that defense humming when he was there. Of course. They definitely took a step back.
They had tough games, though. They wasn't getting blown out every week. They were doing things that – and it wasn't always the offense. I don't think – you know, like, we give the offense a lot of credit because they had the wide receivers they did. But there were games that that offense didn't score, and it was the defense that kept them in games.
No, I know. I mean, you can talk about the Jets game, but, I mean, it was like two water pistols out there fighting each other in the last game of the season. So, I don't know if I necessarily count that as, like, you know, key games. Like, I'm just saying –
Well, I think Jalen Ramsey helps that team a lot on defense.
Yes, he does.
Now, I don't know if it's a huge jump. I don't know if it takes them from where they were to now, I don't think they're a top three – I mean, a top three defense all of a sudden because of Ramsey. Ramsey got cooked a little bit last year too. So it's not like he's a perfect cornerback, but I think it helps a lot. Sterles, how do you feel like this move, you know, kind of shakes up anything in the AFC East?
I mean, I think anytime you add more star power to the division like that, man, it only makes it better. You know, he's taking over for Byron Jones. And, you know, I think it's going to be great for, you know, that cornerback room, just for the young guys that they have in there. And then that front seven, I think if they go into this draft and they get a linebacker, you know, I think that defense is going to be good, and Vic Fangio is going to make the difference. I mean, I really like Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator. Jalen Ramsey can ball, you know, whether we like it or not, the dude can still ball. So I think they're going to be dangerous on defense, man. You got Javon Holland in the back, like they're good, man. They're real good.
The secondary is going to be a problem. Like you got, I mean, I know Xavier Howard had a bit of a down year last year, but you know, he's still a solid corner. He's really above average corner. Right. And then you get, you know, Jalen Ramsey, who's played in the Vic Fangio kind of scheme before. So he's familiar with the terminology. And you mentioned Holland. They had the really good rookie last year who's going to move to the slot. Yeah, exactly. He's going to move to the slot. So I think the secondary is like stacked, really. I think it's in a really good position because I thought he had a great year. Especially the rookie position, kind of underrated, especially considering how Sauce Gardner and Tariq Woodley played last year. Like a lot of people kind of forget how good he was. And then you mentioned, you know, the edge rushers that they got. Bradley Chubb, the deal didn't really work out the way that I think they thought, you know, when they made the trade. But, you know, he's also familiar with Vic Fangio's scheme. He played with Vic Fangio in Denver. And, you know, you got Phillips there. Yeah. Who I think is going to be tremendous.
He's a stud.
Exactly. And Christian Wilkins, who I really like. Like, that defense is going to be – it's definitely going to be improved. And then offensively, you know, getting Mike White there, you know, as a quality backup to Tua, I think that's something they definitely really needed. I think the Dolphins are really setting themselves up to, you know, be a player in the AFC East. It's going to be a problem. Like, it's going to be really fun to watch this year, them and the Bills, and now the Jets go at it.
And that's my problem, y'all. Like, you see these other teams loading up, and the Bills over here like, we're just gonna get the band back together. Like I need a little something more, man. I need them to do something.
Yeah, I can see that too. Cause yeah, everybody's loading up. Everybody's loading up to beat the Bengals, try to get the Bengals and the Chiefs. That's the two top teams you're going for in the AFC. I mean, no disrespect to the Bills. I mean, I know they'd probably be the third best team right now, but, you know, fact of the matter is those two teams that made the AFC championship, and everybody sees, like, you need a quality quarterback. That's why the Jets are going out to get Aaron Rodgers. And then you need a sound defense. That's why I think you're seeing, you know, the Dolphins and also, you know, the Jets loading up there.
See, I just look at it a little differently than both. I mean, I agree with certain aspects of your takes, but I look at it a little differently. I'm still not worried about Miami, and I'm not worried about the Jets. I'm not worried about Aaron. No, I'm not even being.
I am, dog. Right. I am, man.
Yeah, yeah. See, I just feel like Aaron Rodgers even before this year, he played MVP caliber seasons, and he has one Super Bowl to his name. He has one, you know what I mean? Like in the playoffs, he's not the same dude that he is for the entire season. The team that he's going to in the Jets is not as good as Packers offenses that he's had in those years that he's been good. So like, you're expecting me to just believe that an older quarterback is going to come in here and make this offense for the Jets just tremendous. And
Improvement. Improve. Yeah.
But then in Miami, you want me to believe that Mike White being the backup to Tua means that the Dolphins all of a sudden are just that much better on all. No, they're not. Like, Mike White didn't do nothing last year when they played against the Bills because, you know, he's good. Like, he's a good quality backup. But
because y'all broke him. Like, so, they ended up breaking him down.
Yeah, that's right. It felt good. But to your point, though, it's like, I feel like, you know, when you put Jalen Ramsey on Stephon Diggs, he's not going to go off for 10 catches and 170 yards on Jalen Ramsey. So I think that production is going to.
What did he go off for week one against them when he played?
Well,
against
all those catches weren't on Jalen Ramsey, though. All I'm saying is Ramsey's a good enough corner to where Stephon Diggs can't dominate that game. They're going to have to get real crafty on moving him, you know, in motion and things like that. And then let's not forget that front seven is really good. So Buffalo's offensive line is going to have to be improved. And I don't know if Connor McGovern really moves the needle for me, maybe in pass protection. But outside of that, man, it's really tough.
Here's what I'll say. I think the Bills are still the favorite in the division. However, like, that gap has closed, like, quickly. Like, I'm not saying they're not far and away better than all of these teams like they were last year at this time. Like, I think now, like, yeah, I think it's Buffalo, but then it may be a little bit of a gap, but it's not a very wide gap at all.
Okay.
Short term, Long term, the Jets don't have a quarterback. And I'm not worried about whatever they put up there for the Dolphins.
It's a Band-Aid situation.
Now they're not about to have a first round or a couple first round draft picks.
At least one. I don't think it's going to be two, but at least they probably going to give up a first round pick, though.
And then again, if we're talking about the Dolphins, they gave the fifth year option to Tua. They don't trust him enough to extend him, like Twan mentioned earlier in like a couple weeks back. But the thing is, again, I'm just saying, like, so let's say Tua gets injured. You think Mike White is coming in, and all of a sudden the Bills have something to worry about with Tua being out with Mike White?
I ain't saying worry, but he can win games. He can win games for them. That's the
thing.
Against
the Bills? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were blowing up the Jets last year when Mike White was in there.
Because of the defense. That offense wasn't doing nothing. Miami's defense is not the Jets' defense. He's going to a better offensive situation.
I think the Dolphins' defense will be better than what they were last year. I really do. I'm not saying it's going to get back to what they were on the floor as, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as what it was last year either.
Oh, it's going to be much improved. It's going to be much improved. Exactly. Just agree, with Vic Fangio alone is a big deal.
Exactly.
But then also back to Sterling's point too. Like, and he's saying, and I get it, he has to do the thing that he does, but I'm telling you, go back and watch that game and go back and look at the stats. Stephon Diggs cooked Jalen Ramsey. And also go and look at the stats for Joshua Patrick Allen throwing against Jalen Ramsey.
What is that thing that Sterling does?
What you're not going to do is go on here and be all hypothetical and act like the Bills all of a sudden are trash.
That's not what I'm saying. I just said, what I said was the Bills are still the favorite. Like, you must have misunderstood when I said that. However, I think the other teams have gotten better. The gap has gotten closer.
I mean,
that's all I said.
Listen, when you get braces for the first week, it's technically closer, but it's still a big gap in the middle of your mouth. What are you talking about?
I got it.
See, Sterling's no.
No, you like, so if you want to be technical, like, the Bills barely beat the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson in the playoff game. So that, don't tell me.
Not because the Dolphins were good.
It doesn't matter, though. Okay, no, turnovers happened, though.
Y'all bugging. And you doing that Miami and Jets thing that you do. You a fan.
I'm not a Jets fan. I am not a Jets fan.
You a Dolphins fan, though, so I peep it. I peep game.
Okay, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it, I am not a Jets fan.
I just keep it a buck with the Bills, man. That's my squad, but I am not one to sit here.
But let's say they need to improve some things before the season starts. Let's just put it that way.
They definitely do.
Like the offensive line. They definitely need to improve some things on the offensive line.
Who, the Bills?
Yes,
they do. But they did last year too, and they still went 13-3. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like they did last year too.
13-4. But yes, that's not gonna happen if they don't improve some unit things this year either. Let's just be real.
We went 13-3 in this regular season, sir.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because of the I forgot because the Bengals would have beat y'all had they played that game. I forgot.
Okay. At this point, yeah. Antoine is he. What's the dude from the Marvels? What's this dude that knows?
Nostradamus.
Oh my God, Sterling! Now I got to edit this show. Are you kidding me, Sterling?
Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Like we're getting off the rails here. All right, let's go.
Well, I'm just saying, y'all be tripping on my Bills, and I don't understand it. And Sterling claimed to be a Bills fan.
We went 13-3
with a jacked up offensive line. We went 13-3 with our second wide receiver having a 50% drop rate. We went 13-3 with Isaiah McKenzie on the roster. Like y'all not about to sit here and act
again,
like that. And that's not sustainable.
Each season is different. It's its own entity. Just because what happened last year has no bearing on what happened this year. So just keep that in mind too.
Right, so when you sit here talking about how the Bills had turnovers against Skylar Thompson in the playoffs, then I don't want to hear it then.
Okay,
since you're saying last year, I just said the
gap has closed. It's closing. Okay. That's all I said. You acting like they're so far way better than Buffalo and the Jets, though. Like they're not. No, they are better, but they're not like far and away better. That's all I'm saying. That's all I said.
PJ don't know what he's talking about.
Okay? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The Bills are still the favorite. I'm giving you credit.
PJ, I'm not talking about you.
He's talking about this comment right here.
He put up PJ don't he's know what
right.
he's talking about.
He's right.
He's not right.
He's right. He's right. Like he knows I'm right. Y'all know that I'm right. They are better. Like the Bills are still the top dog. You have nothing to worry about right now.
That you are right about.
But right now, like the gap has closed. The teams have gotten better. Whatever you want to say, but yeah, you just don't want to admit it.
What is there to admit?
The teams have gotten better. Oh, by an inch. Wow,
the gap is closed. I'm feeling you. It's closing.
Okay, all right, Dan.
I can't wait. I can't wait till the end of the season when the Bills win the division again, and the Jets is still 9-7 or 9-8.
See, I didn't say they weren't going to win the division again. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
No, I didn't say you said that. What I'm saying is, I can't wait for the Bills to win the division again, and the Jets are 9-8 with Aaron Rodgers, and the Miami Dolphins are 10-7. And the Buffalo Bills are 13-4 or 14-3. I just can't wait because I'm just saying, like y'all really be, and I get it. Fangio, Jason on here talking about Fangio, and I get it. They made some moves, and we lost our defensive coordinator, and I get it. Okay, go ahead. I just can't wait. I'm gonna put a reminder in my phone right now.
Okay, so Bills.
Yes, right, the saying goes, write it down, take a picture, so, please do.
What do you think
the
Bills' record
going to
be next year?
Who, me or like Spence said 13-4.
13-4. I just said it.
Twan?
I probably would go with 12 wins right now. I can't get with 13. I think the division has been improved. So
okay,
I think they're.
Tell me what Miami's record going to be.
11. 11 wins.
Ooh, that's bold.
Oh, wins.
What about
10.
The Jets?
About 98, probably. About 98.
Okay. Listen, y'all. This has been the Chop Up.
I just said that about the Jets. I just said that. You can't even take that.
No, I agreed with you there. I said you're right. And then I asked you what you thought Miami's record was going to be, and you feel like they're going to be a game back from the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I think they'll split. I could see them splitting. They split last year. That's not unrealistic, but I'm telling you, ain't no way. Y'all sitting here talking like these boys going to take a major step forward. I still don't trust their head coach. I think he's a good dude. I think people like him.
They can't win two more games than what they did last year?
I don't think they do.
That's fair.
I don't. No, I'm being honest. I don't think they do. I do not think the Dolphins are good. I don't think they do.
Tweet it. Nah, I'm not gonna tell you to do that.
I have no problem tweeting it. You know I have no problem. I will tag every Miami fan I know.
Okay, tag me in. Please tag me in this then. Like this is gonna be good then. This will be entertaining.
They had in week three, week four, you had all these national talking heads talking about how Miami was the best team in the league and the AFC East went through
at
Miami.
At the time they were.
In week four, you the best team in the league?
No.
Well, I didn't say they were gonna win the division, but at the time, like, it was a fair question that they finally exercised their demons and beat the Bills for the first time and like
Bills in that game, man. All right, y'all. Stick around for the Hump Day Hotline. I got Joe Miller off on vacation. Sterles, go ahead and plug your show.
Yeah, man. Tits in the crowd on Monday night, man. I love y'all, man.
I love you too.
You know, Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, you can find me on the Tits in the Grounding. I talk about NFL draft, what the Bills are doing. You know, Spence will call me a hater, but I just keep it real, baby.
Twan, you got some articles or something coming out that you want to plug?
Well, no, now that I'm no longer technically on Aaron Rodgers' watch, although I kind of am in a way. But, yeah, you can find my articles at the New York Daily News. Also find me at Antoine Staley on Twitter.
All right. And, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and stick around. Flip over to the other YouTube link and check out the Hump Day Hotline with me and Joe Miller. It's your boy, Jay Spencer King. Y'all love each other, take care of each other, and live in peace. And, as always, stay positive, test negative, go Bills.